When we think of being stranded, our first thoughts drift to a lonely desert island after a shipwreck, which is way different than being stuck on a desert island. Just ask a copy editor. But this kind of situation usually only happens in the movies, where the prospect of a paying audience watching a popular actor die of dehydration prevents just such an event from occurring. Real-life stranding usually involves weather, broken vehicles, or malfunctioning elevators, and everyone seems to have a story. Once, at a book signing, a kindly older couple stopped by to tell me their thoughts about living their many decades together on the Iron Range. The talk turned, as it often does, to alcohol. In the old days, the menfolk would stop in at each other's houses under the pretense of some chore or borrowing equipment. But really what they were doing was drinking a beer or a nip of Canadian whiskey. Well, anyway, the wife was telling me, one time she was up in the couple's crawl space attic organizing some things while her husband held a ladder down below. She realized she needed a particular tool, and the husband said he would have to go across the street to Bob's house to get it. Long story short, the ladder tipped over, and she was stuck up there for a couple hours while the husband drank with Bob, having forgotten why his wife sent him there in the first place. He returned and realized his error when he heard her screaming for help. She descended the ladder, smelled the alcohol in his breath, and you know what? That's the end of the story. She's not in the attic anymore. Then they walked away. I teach public speaking at a community college. The real variables in my job arise when students are not speaking. For instance, what are they planning to talk about? Beginners lack the experience to know what 5 minutes in front of a hot classroom feels like, and what's technically possible to do in that time. Many early topics are too specific, like how to tell my boyfriend I love him even though he's been so distant lately. Or too general, like the earth. 5 minutes with either of these topics would leave a student, audience, and teacher stranded. The other week, however, I encountered an entirely unexpected pre-speech question. A student asked if she could use a horse as her visual aid. Now, the sane thing to do would have been to say no immediately. The sheer logistics of getting a horse into the college for a speech just 2 days away would be comic. The horse might poop. The horse might whinny and distract a nearby economics class. The horse might bolt down the hallway, knocking co-eds to their feet, sending cell phones skittering across the halls like jacks. The horse might do all of these things, and the reason I did not say no was because I wanted this horse, an unknown horse, an Aristotelian idea of horseness, to do exactly those things. When you've finally been doing your job for a few years, you start to grow tired of the more mundane aspects. You can feel stranded. Not a lot, just a little. Not everyone gets to introduce a horse to the equation. For a brief time, I let myself believe I could. Naturally, the horse question kicked off a complex, prescribed set of administrative actions. Signatures were acquired. Assurances of student safety were made, meetings were held, the judgment, rendered some 24 hours later, was resolute. No horses allowed. Horses are large gateway mammals that could lead to all manner of hoofed creatures wandering the halls, something difficult to justify in today's preferred pedagogy. It was as it must be. I couldn't justify a horse on campus, but in my mind the horse has already broken free from the student's grasp, knocking her colorful handmade posters to the ground. The horse is running now, up the stairs, down the hall, from the F building to the D building, from the D to the A, past the mailroom where the canto of her hooves on the hard linoleum punctuated the groaning of the copy machines. The people are afraid. The people are amazed. The people are exhilarated. One thing is for certain in this moment of reverie, neither horse nor man are stranded.